Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Who could have guessed 6 months ago that the two leading Republican presidential candidates would be people who have expressed total dissatisfaction with the establishment wing of the party, and that the race would devolve into personal attacks between these candidates? Is this the future direction of the Republican Party? And how do top Vermont Republican officials feel about the developments of the past 6 months, and what do they see as the future of the state Republican Party? These are some of the questions we have for our panel today. With us, former Governor Jim Douglas, who is an executive in residence at Middlebury College, and he talks to us from Middlebury in the Middlebury studio. We also have the executive director of the Vermont Republican Party, Jeff Bartley. House Minority Leader Don Turner is with us today, and former House Minority Leader Patty Comline. Great to have you all here. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Bob.
And you can join the conversation here at Vermont Edition. Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. How should the Vermont Republican Party deal with the direction that the National Party seems to be going in, and what are the benefits and perhaps some of the liabilities of supporting presidential candidates who are openly critical of the status quo of the Republican Party? And could statewide and legislative races in Vermont be affected by who the eventual GOP presidential nominee turns out to be? Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. Yesterday in the publication The Hill, there was an article with the headline, GOP nears the breaking point. It goes on to say, quote, that the presidential primary process has been a wrenching experience for the GOP so far, and it's about to get worse because the three candidates have all backed away from their pledge to support the party's eventual nominee. Governor Douglas, what do you make of the tone and the tenor of the Republican presidential race so far?
Well, it's not very satisfying. It's not the kind of civil discourse that we're accustomed to in Vermont. And I hope that over the next 7+ months, we'll see a more thoughtful discussion of the issues facing the American people and not some of the personality anatomical comments that we've been subject to in the recent past. But, you know, politics is a rough and tumble business. It's not pretty. And I'm still optimistic that we'll do just fine here in Vermont, and I'm not ready to concede that the front runner is going to be the nominee of our party. He may well fall short of the votes he needs, and that'll give the delegates in Cleveland a chance to make a decision that's in the best interest of not only the GOP, but of our country, too.
Is that something that you hope will happen?
Well, I'd like to see a different, more inclusive nominee. I generally have a predisposition to governors. They're the folks who've actually run something. It's the kind of job that's closest to that of the presidency, although not exactly the same. There's only one governor left in the race, and it would seem to me that he would serve us well as the nominee if that were possible.
Governor, are you at all concerned about the future direction of the party when the two leading candidates seem to be so critical of the status quo policies and positions of the National Party?
I'm not concerned on that basis. I remember in 1980 we had an upstart anti-establishment candidate named Ronald Reagan. I was supporting a different candidate at the time, but he was nominated and by all accounts, not only went on to be a great leader of our party, but a great president of the United States. So I think it's very difficult at this early stage to anticipate what the future might hold if a so-called anti-establishment candidate is nominated.
Also in 1964, it seemed like the Republican Party had a similar fight for the heart and soul of the party when Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater defeated the mainstream candidates for the presidential nomination. Do you think we're witnessing something similar now?
It's possible. But remember, 4 years after that, the Republicans won the presidency for a couple of terms. And so things can turn pretty quickly in politics. We don't know what's going to happen on the other side. It's a relative judgment that the American people will make. The leading Democratic candidate is quite unpopular. Her unfavorability rating is second only to that of Mr. Trump. But a lot of Americans are concerned about her credibility, her integrity, and some of her record. So I think it's very early to predict what the impact might be. But one thing I'm confident of, Bob, that Vermonters are independent voters. They look at each race separately. We've had times when national Republican candidates haven't fared well, but Vermont Republican candidates have, and that's certainly what I would expect if there's an unpopular candidate on the national ticket this year.
House Minority Leader Don Turner, what are your general thoughts about what's taking place in the 2016 Republican presidential race, and how do you think this contest might be framing the future identity of the party?
You know, Bob, you know, it can be entertaining to comment on the political theater playing out on the national stage, but I'd much rather focus my attention and that of our caucus on what's going on in Vermont. You know, let's look at the example of Windsor County, which does not have a single Republican legislator. Democrats represent all seven House districts, and they split three Senate districts with Bennington and Rutland County. And I don't see how pitting Trump against Cruz or Kasich, for that matter, in this interview, will do anything to help the everyday lives of Vermonters. You know, we know Vermont is not affordable and the middle class is struggling. My job in this role is to find candidates who will help solve Vermont's cost of living problem and help build a robust economy in Vermont. Candidates who understand people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm going to work on getting candidates who listen to the people and not the establishment.
So do you think there's a difference of what's going on at the national level for the Republican Party and what's happening in Vermont?
I do. You know, I do. I think that, you know, first of all, you know, I don't endorse candidates. I never have, not in the local, in the House seats or statewide or whatever. I haven't done it politically or national at all. And I'm not going to start today. So I'm going to take the energy that's being generated by people that are paying attention to what's going on and focus on what's going on in Vermont. And we got some serious problems in Vermont, Bob.
So let's just say hypothetically that Donald Trump is the nominee of the Republican Party. Do you think that that would have an impact on your goal of electing more Republicans next November to the legislature?
I'm not sure it will. You know, I don't want to disavow any of those people coming out to vote for any candidate. You know, I think that, you know, my constituents, Vermonters and fellow citizens, they're mad at the establishment, and they're saying it, and they're saying it when they're voting. So, you know, people, you know, who are drawn to both Sanders and Trump are sick of being tired of what's, you know, that they're not being paid attention to. People are ignoring the $19 billion deficit. You know, they ignore the promise to take care of veterans. They ignore fair foreign policy. They're ignoring our ability to control our borders. You know, this is what people care about. You know, they're sick of, they're ignoring this Affordable Care Act, and in Vermont, particularly this Vermont Health Connect. You know, I cannot and I won't accept that we're going to have higher taxes, that we're declining services, we have a stagnant economy, you know, loss of the middle class and so on. You know, now's the time to stand up. Now's the time to stand up for these disenchanted voters and fellow citizens, and we want to say we hear you. I want to say I hear you. We're not going to ignore you. And less than a year ago, you know, the establishment and the pundits out there were saying that it was going to be Hillary against Jeb. Those same people are the ones who were ignored and dismissed and are supporting Bernie and Trump. So we need to pay attention, and our party is ready to do that.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, some of the Trump and Cruz supporters are pretty upset with the establishment wing of the Republican Party, and they look at the majorities in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, and they say, you know what, you really haven't done a lot for us. It's time for a change. Do you think those same people look at the Republican Party in Vermont and look at Vermont's House Republicans and say, you know, you're not doing what needs to be done?
They could be. But what we've been saying for the last 3-6 years is that we have such a minority that we've got to focus on these issues. And our caucus has done a really good job of doing that. And as I just pointed out, in Windsor and even in Patty's own district in Bennington County, we have one Republican. That's what's going on. People need to understand the makeup of the legislature and what's happening and place blame with the establishment, which is the majority. Governor Shumlin and the majority have driven this state, you know, into almost bankruptcy, in my opinion.
Patty Comline, you're a former House Minority Leader, now representative from Dorset. What are your general thoughts about what's happening with the Republican Party at the national level? Are there some potential benefits or some potential liabilities for the party? What are your thoughts?
I don't see any benefits. It's disappointing. I think it would have been interesting had, you know, people are saying, is this the breakup of the party? and people talk, is there an opportunity for a new party? And I think when I get around, I talk to a lot of people, they identify as social liberals, fiscal conservatives, but they don't feel like there's a party for them. Fortunately, here in Vermont, as a Vermont Republican, I feel like I fit in. You know, we talk about a big tent in our party, and people that identify as that can be part of our – within our tent. At the national level, I don't see that's the case. And what's going on, this fracture, what's going on with the Trump issue is not going to do anything to solidify that group of people. So I don't focus. I see what's going on there, and I find it horrifying, but I just focus on what we're doing here in Vermont. And fortunately, I think we have a really good candidate running for governor with Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott, who is respectful and moderate and well-thinking, and, you know, we can – you know, a lot of us can rally behind him and focus, again, on what we do here in Vermont.
And what concerns you the most about Donald Trump?
Oh, that's a really – we don't have enough time in an hour to talk about what concerns me the most. I think the latest – I never identified as a feminist, never. And I think it's because I feel like I was fortunate enough in the work that was done before my time that I have every opportunity that men have. What I see going on with Trump makes me realize that actually I am, or, you know, would be again a feminist if that – if we have to come to that, because I think his attacks on women, his attacks on veterans, his attacks on disabled people – I mean, it just goes on. And it's so divisive to the country, and this, you know, the identity politics of pitting one group against another. And it's just disappointing. And I hope his supporters are growing disenchanted with him and disappointed as they see him getting worse and worse. And, you know, I just hope that they realize while they're frustrated, they can direct their frustrations and energies in other ways.
Today in the program, we're looking and talking to a group of Vermont Republican officials about the future of their party. Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Jeff Bartley, Executive Director of the Vermont Republican Party. How do you view what's going on?
Well, it's certainly interesting. You know, a couple points I want to make is I think it was after the 2012 election cycle, many in the Vermont press were asking the questions, is the Vermont Republican Party relevant? And we look at what we were able to do in 2014. We picked up seats in the House. We picked up seats in the Senate. We had a lieutenant governor that I believe got over 60% of the vote. And our party's moving in the right direction. You look at the history of statewide elections here, 2004, 2008, you know, presidential years, Jim Douglas, Brian Doobie won overwhelming majorities to their seats. In 2006, which I think we can all agree was a very anti-Republican year, we elected Bernie Sanders, we elected Peter Welch, we elected Brian Doobie, and we elected Jim Douglas to their respected seats. So I think it shows the diversity of the Vermont voter. 35% of Vermonters are willing to vote for both parties in the same year. So I think as a party, our question isn't necessarily about Donald Trump. It's about the people who are supporting him. And why are they supporting him? And the same reason, why are they supporting Bernie Sanders? And there's that huge dissatisfaction out there with the direction of Congress, of D.C., and here in Vermont. I mean, $48 million in new taxes passed last week. I mean, that's going to rile up a lot of people. So our job as a party is to reach out to them, make our case, and continue to grow the party. I think we are very relevant. I think we've shown that. And history has shown that parties come and go. So I think I'm looking forward to this election.
Do you think it's important for the Vermont Republican Party to differentiate itself from what's happening at the national level?
Well, I think Vermont Republicans are definitely very different than the national level. I mean, a Vermont Republican is very different than, say, a Texas Republican. And that's just who we are. It's not good, bad, or indifferent.
In what way?
Well, I think maybe some of the issues that are important to us, or whether it's philosophical or how we approach, you know, certain issues. I do agree with Patty that I think the Vermont Republican, the Republican Party is trying to follow Vermont tradition, and that's, you know, fiscal responsibility. That's a willingness to, you know, pass legislation, have a battle on the House floor, then go have a beer with your counterparts on the other side of the aisle at the end of the day. You're not getting that in D.C. In some places of the country, you're not getting that either. So I'm proud about the direction and the approach that Vermont Republicans have.
Let's go to our callers and start off with David, who's calling from East Burke. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. I have a very simple question. And it basically is, if you were to take Donald Trump out of the equation entirely, I know we'd all love to just pretend it was all a bad dream and that it never happened. However, if that was the case, what exactly would you be left with? And how do you feel about Bernie Sanders' support, given that they have some kind of a similar, you know, way about, you know, feeding into the dissatisfaction of the American people? And thank you for your time.
Governor Douglas, what do you think?
Well, it's an interesting point that one of our other guests made, that a lot of the same voters are attracted to both Bernie and Mr. Trump. The angry, the disenfranchised American, the people who think the system is rigged against them. And in open primaries, it was pretty obvious to me that those two candidates were targeting the same individuals. But what happened in the Vermont primary and happened in many other places around the country was that most people chose the Republican ballot. We had a huge increase in the number of people voting in the Republican primary this year. It went up 21,500 from the primary, the last contested one in 2008. And the Democratic contest saw 20,000 fewer voters this year, even though we had our own senator on the ballot. So I'm not sure exactly what to make of all that, except there are a lot of people who are willing to and eager to look to the Republican Party for solutions, and we need to find a way to continue to engage them, I hope with a nominee other than the one who won our primary, but to keep them engaged, voting for those state candidates, for Phil Scott, for the legislative contenders, so that we can have a more balanced and fiscally responsible state government in the next couple of years.
Today in the program, we're talking to a group of Vermont Republican officials about the future of their party. Our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. With us today, some top Republican officials in Vermont discussing the future of their party. With us, former Governor Jim Douglas, the executive director of the party, Jeff Bartley, House Minority Leader Don Turner, and also former House Minority Leader Patty Comline. Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. Governor Douglas, I think you were talking about this earlier, but is it your feeling that Vermont Republicans should chart a more moderate course than what we're seeing at the national level?
Well, we certainly have in recent years, and I think that would serve us well as we continue to seek the support of the voters of our state. A number of lines of questioning today, Bob, have been on the difference between Vermont and the national party, and I think back to my first reelection in 2004 as a great example of how we're able to capture the independence of Vermonters. You may recall that we had a president at the time, President Bush, who wasn't too popular here, and I had signs that said Jim equals jobs, because that had been my theme in my first election in 2002. So my Democratic opponent made some signs that said Jim equals George, and he put them up mostly around Chittenden County, thinking that he could tie me to an unpopular president and gain support in doing so. Well, it didn't work at all. Vermonters are smart. They can go down the ballot and make an individual choice, look at the qualifications of each candidate, and that's why they've been responsibly choosing Republicans in many cases, even though national Republican leaders haven't been as attractive. So I think if we continue, as your other guests have said, to focus on what's going on here, on the unpopularity of the current administration in Montpelier, on the huge tax increases, on the stagnant population, the shrinking workforce, and the need for jumpstarting the economy of Vermont, I think we're going to do just fine.
Representative Turner, we got this email in from Mark, who wrote, "Every state has its contingent of Donald Trump supporters, including Vermont. While the Vermont GOP has really tried to distance itself from the association with this candidate, it can hardly afford to simply write off the votes of these Trump-supporting Republicans. So what's the plan to keep them safely in the fold for the down-ticket races this November, while maintaining that Donald Trump does not speak for the Vermont GOP?" You touched on this with a previous answer of that there are some legitimate concerns being raised by these Trump supporters. So how do you balance all this?
Well, I think you have to show leadership. I think what the reason that a Donald Trump and even a Bernie Sanders have risen to the height they have, I believe, is because they are showing leadership. They're standing up and speaking their mind, whether you agree or not, whether I agree or not. They are showing leadership in a time when the establishment has not. There are many things I don't agree with, but I want to focus on building a better Vermont. And what I want Vermonters to understand is that whatever happens on the national level is going to happen. I can't control that. And I'm doing the best I can to recruit and bring Vermont people to the House of Representatives, to the Senate, so that we can change this. You know, I want to focus on the wake-up call that those who do support Donald Trump and Bernie are saying. I feel that they are saying that they are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Nobody's listening to them. And we are, and I want to say to them, if they're listening today, and I'm going to continue to say it, we are listening to you. We're going to bring candidates that will do that in Vermont. We need to do it when we start in the local races, in the House races, in the Senate races, in the gubernatorial races, and statewide candidates. Vermont Republicans will bring change to Vermont. And that's what I want to say. And I believe that, you know, Trump and Bernie are showing leadership in a time when people think their voice is not being heard.
Representative Comline, you had some critical comments earlier for the campaign of Donald Trump. But do you think underneath that, that there's a message coming from all the people who support Donald Trump? I mean, he won the Vermont Republican presidential primary. What do you think? Is there a message there that folks need to hear?
Yeah, and I think I would like to segue off of what Don's saying is that, and we keep using the term disenfranchised, people feel up at the national level they're not listened to. But that's not the case in Vermont. The Republicans in Vermont, we vote our constituents, we vote our conscience, we vote our constituents, and then we vote our party. And we have a record of that, and that's why I'm still in this party. If I could share a story with you, Governor Douglas, we'll recall we had quite a big bill. It was a marriage equality bill a number of years ago, and I was a minority leader, and I supported that bill. Governor Douglas vetoed that, and we were respectful. He was respectful with me. There was no pressure put on me from anybody to change what I believed in. They knew I was voting my conscience, also voting my constituents, definitely reflecting my constituents, and then we move on. And that I think our constituents recognize that we don't vote lockstep. I mean, people can look at our record of voting on a House floor, and we are representing our communities. And I think so the people's frustration at the national level will not trickle down to us at the local levels because they know that we do listen to them and we reflect their values.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Cam in Montpelier. Hi, Cam. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to point out something that was said that I think may be incorrect. Governor Douglas had said that it was the same people, the same voters who were attracted to both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, and I don't believe that's the case. I know a large number of people, myself included, who are Bernie Sanders supporters who would definitely never support Donald Trump. And I think perhaps some of the motivations are similar, but the same voters are not considering both people.
Cam, do you think that the Bernie Sanders success in the campaign so far shows that there are a fair number of Democrats who are dissatisfied with the status quo, and that the same might be said in the Republican Party with Donald Trump, but in your opinion, it's just not the same people?
It's a little bit apples and oranges, because you're always going to have people that are dissatisfied with the status quo. What matters is what are the policy decisions and policy ideas that are being put forth. And they're completely different. I mean, you're solving the problem totally different ways. And I think it's a mischaracterization of the people who are Bernie Sanders supporters to sort of lump them in with the people who are Donald Trump supporters. I think that's done intentionally to cast Bernie Sanders in a bad light.
Okay, Cam, but we'll see. Governor Douglas, what do you think?
Well, it's not done intentionally at all. It's the basis of research by political scientists and exit polls from the primaries we've had and analyses of their campaign strategies. Ironically, both supporters of Mr. Trump and supporters of Bernie are anti-establishment. And in an open primary where you can go in and vote for either one, many people had to choose. And I think it's interesting in Vermont that the turnout, as I mentioned, was much stronger in the Republican primary, and so many fewer Democrats chose to vote. I'm not sure why. Maybe they thought Bernie had it in the bag anyway, which, of course, he did. But the key message, I think, for Vermonters is that in the end, this isn't going to matter a whole lot. It's going to be Phil Scott or whoever our nominee is and the legislative candidates who carry a message to the voters of Vermont that it's time for a change here. It's time for a new direction. It's time to get the state's fiscal and economic compass pointed in the right direction. So I think Vermonters are smart enough to figure that out.
But do you have some concerns that if Donald Trump is the GOP presidential nominee, that it will make life more difficult for Phil Scott if, in fact, he is the gubernatorial nominee?
Well, he'll have to continue to answer questions like this throughout the summer and fall. But voters are very good at making up their own mind. It was in the 70s when I was in the legislature that we got rid of the straight party column, one box at the top where you could vote for all Democrats or all Republicans with a single check mark. And I think that was good. It requires voters to look at each individual contest. And I think like 04, as I indicated earlier, when President Bush was very unpopular here, but I was successful and Brian Doobie was. And then in 08, when President Obama, or then Senator Obama, received the second highest percent of the vote of any state in Vermont, but I was still easily reelected, is evidence that Vermonters do indeed jump around the ballot, and they respond to a message of hope and opportunity for the future of our state. And I know that the Republican candidates this fall are going to carry that message, and I think it's going to be successful.
Jeff Bartley, we got this email in from Ray, who wrote us, in the last couple of election cycles, the contenders for the GOP nomination to run against Congressman Peter Welch largely sounded like National Tea Party types. Given the more moderate tone of the Vermont GOP relative to the national party, how does the party expect to win statewide contests with positions that are for Vermont so extreme?
Well, I think in that particular situation, I mean, it makes it a little bit more tougher, but it's not necessarily up to the party to we obviously advocate our candidates and we recruit candidates and we want to find the best candidates for the various different positions. We want to find candidates that fit the district as well and that also goes statewide. I think what's important is you have to look at these candidates and their approach to the Vermont voter. And have the conversation with the Vermont voter. And it's up to the voter to decide, you know, do we like the direction of Congressman Welch is taking us in Congress, or do we like this new candidate here? Congressman Welch is popular here in Vermont. It is hard to recruit candidates. But as a party, we're not going to shy away from saying you can't run for office because you don't fit a certain mold. I think that that would disenfranchise a lot of Vermonters and a lot of Republicans. We have to have a big tent. We have to expand it. As Governor Douglas pointed out, 57% vote increase from 08 to 2016 in the presidential primary. So, yeah, Vermont Republicans, we tend to be a little bit more moderate, but that doesn't mean we can't have people in our party that you know, might fit the Tea Party label or a conservative label, or as we're seeing now, right now, there's a huge libertarian streak in the Vermont Republican Party, and I think that's great.
Today in the program, we're talking to Vermont Republican officials about the future of their party. Your thoughts? 1-800-639-2211. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. We're discussing the future of the Republican Party with some of its top officials today. 1-800-639-2211. If you've got a question or a comment, let's turn to Marguerite in Weston. Marguerite, welcome to the program.
I'm curious to know why the Republicans have been unable to field better candidates. I mean, it seems to me when the Republicans put up a credible candidate, they win. I mean, they look at Jim Douglas, look at Patty Conline, look at a lot of people. But there is never hasn't been a credible person running for any of the national offices since Peter Welch's first election when he ran against Martha Randolph, and that was a close election. I mean, I live in Windsor County. None of our senators have been opposed in years. I happen to live in a district that for years was represented by a great Republican, Rick Hubie, and he won overwhelmingly. And his successor, Oliver Wilson, wins overwhelmingly. I'm a Democrat, but I think a better balance of power in the state legislature would be good for Vermont. But a lot of us, I want Oliver to win. But there are a lot of districts that just don't have a credible alternative to the Democrat.
Okay, Marguerite, let's look at this from two levels. Let's look at it first at the national level. Governor Douglas, Peter Welch, Pat Leahy, it's really tough for Republican candidates to run against them. Why is it so tough?
Well, incumbents have a tremendous advantage. I ran against one of those incumbents once upon a time. And Vermont, as you know, has never unseated a United States senator in its history since they've been popularly elected for the last century or so. Folks go to Washington. They have the advantages of incumbency, the campaign war chest that scare off competitors, the constant publicity, the opportunity to hand out pork to their constituents. And Vermonters in particular have stuck with incumbents to a degree greater than other states have. And with that record, it's challenging to attract someone to take one of those races. Scott Milne is talking about challenging Senator Leahy. And we're seeing a lot of veteran senators, even John McCain, facing serious challenges. So I think the American people and Vermonters might be ready for a change at this point. And I have to point out, Bob, before I forget, that I respectfully take issue with John Dillon's assertion during the fundraising break that there is an existential crisis in the Republican Party. I don't believe that at all. We've got some challenges this year. We've had them in the past. We'll deal with them. And I think we're going to have a very good year when all is said and done.
Would philosophical differences be a better description?
Well, sure, but we've had those before. I mentioned 1980 when I supported a more moderate candidate for the presidency. Ronald Reagan won our caucuses, our state convention, and ultimately the White House. So we've always had different points of view. As Jeff said earlier, we are indeed a big tent. I found it invigorating to have a robust discussion among Republicans when I was in Montpelier, bringing different points of view to the table and talking them through and coming out with what in the end was a good position and a good public policy. So, yeah, we have some differences, but I think the party will survive this as it has other challenges in the past.
Representative Turner, following up on Marguerite's question about candidates, you're out there recruiting local candidates for House races. I don't remember the exact number, but there are 150 members of the Vermont House. I want to say roughly that you did not have a candidate in perhaps 50 of those races in 2014. Is that somewhere close to
being
accurate?
That's very close, Bob. Very close.
So if that's the case, why? Where are the candidates?
Well, that's a very good question. And we have been beating the bushes since that last election. It's very difficult. You know, we have a citizen legislature, and many people find it very hard to serve because of the amount of time that you have to take away from your livelihood in the legislature. So we find that people, you know, flocking to the legislature almost are retirees, trust fund people, and so on. Unfortunately, Republicans in Vermont are usually having to go to work every day, and it's hard to get them to come to Montpelier for $10,000 of pay for 5 months of work. So we find it very hard to get very good candidates, and we could make a difference. We will. We will continue to seek and recruit candidates all around the state, and we're going to. But that is a challenge. It's not only for us. It's for the D's as well. But we're going to continue to look for these candidates that, you know, maybe have different opinions, as Patty and Jeff have pointed out, Governor Douglas. That's fine. We have a big tent. You know, I deal every day in the caucus with differing point of views, differing beliefs, and that's fine. But we do come together on many things, and generally fiscal issues, you know, raising taxes and declining services and so on. So recruiting is difficult. I ask anyone that's listening, we would love some more candidates, and we're going to continue recruiting right up to the election.
Representative Comline, some people might be interested. I mean, you've had some disagreements with the party in the past, but you've stayed in the party. You made a conscious decision to say, I'm going to continue to run as a Republican. Why did you make that decision? What were some of the factors?
The facts that I identify more with the Republican values with regard to fiscal issues, and that's very important in Vermont, that we attend to those issues. We have a minority voice, but we need to grow that voice. I'm allowed to be who I am, honestly, in this party, and I'm very fortunate in that I reflect my constituents' values. If not, I probably wouldn't be elected again because I would probably continue to vote the same way. But the fact that I've been reelected these many years shows that, and the party understands that, and they support me. I guess I said earlier, it's a big tent, and you're allowed to be in that tent. You're welcomed into that tent when you have different perspectives.
Let's go back to our callers for a quick call from Jeff in Montpelier. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking the call and having the program today.
Sure.
I've heard a lot of discussion from Republican candidates, and the platform is consistently saying that Vermont's economic climate is terrible. But our unemployment rate is significantly low. It's the lowest, I think, in New England. Our bond rating, I believe, is AAA. So when you look at the economic indicators, we're doing really well. So how can the platform reflect a bad economic climate, but the indicators are stellar? Thank you.
Want me to take that?
What do you think? Governor Douglas, go right
ahead. Well, I have some sensitivity to these statistics, and the caller's correct in terms of the indicators that he mentioned, but those aren't the ones that really tell the whole story. Our unemployment rate is low because both the numerator and denominator have been shrinking. And the percentage really isn't very important when we have about 15,000 fewer people in our workforce than we did 5 or 6 years ago, when we have fewer income tax returns filed by resident Vermonters than we did a couple of years ago, when we have the second oldest state in America, when we have a rapidly declining population in our public schools. This is not a formula for prosperity in a state that needs to grow. And we have a high tax burden as well. Perhaps one of the most onerous is the estate tax, and that's why a lot of people are fleeing Vermont later in their lives. So we've got some very serious indicators other than the ones that the caller mentioned that are pointing in the wrong direction, and that's why we need strong Republican leadership to get the state back on track.
We're almost out of time, Governor, but we did get an email from Michael who wants to know, what are you going to do if Donald Trump is the nominee? Will you support him?
Well, I refuse to believe that that's the outcome that we can expect this summer and fall. I don't want to hypothesize. I'm going to continue to work hard. I might even go to Cleveland to see if I can make a contribution to the deliberations there. And I'm optimistic that the Republicans of our country will hear the message that the Trump voters are delivering, but in the end, pick a different standard bearer.
Well, one thing we've learned about this political year is it's almost impossible to predict what is going to happen next. Many thanks to our panel today, former Governor Jim Douglas, Jeff Bartley, the executive director of the Vermont Republican Party, House Majority Leader Don Turner, and the former House Minority Leader Patty Comline, representative from Dorset. Thank you all very much for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
That is our show for today. On Monday, we'll hear about a group of about 5,000 people who quietly go about saving lives while they deal with burning buildings. It's Vermont's volunteer firefighters. We'll discuss the specialized training they go through and the challenges that fire departments have in filling their ranks. Send your questions or comments to VermontEdition@vpr.net and listen Monday at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Sangari and Sam Gale Rosen with production assistance from Anna St. Marie. Middlebury College helped us today with their studio. Have a great weekend.